Well, this morning we probably don't even need a message this morning because every time the ball of seals get up here, it's just like worship to our ears and like God speaks to us very loud and clear, right? And so, yeah. And so thank you guys again for what you guys do and bring glory of God through your guys' talents and gifts. And that's all out of love, right? This week we're going to be in Ephesians 5. We're going to be pushing the button series, Push Your Standard. Last week we had the opportunity to find out that our identity is in Christ. This week we're actually going to put that into a test because Ephesians 5 kind of gives us that little test that we need. And we're going to find out if our actions and our standards really reflect our beliefs. In the last closing chapters of chapter 4, verse 26 says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." This here is an important lesson that Paul teaches us. He's teaching us that whatever kind of relationship we're in, we shouldn't allow our words or anger, and they go together, right, to cause us to sin. We're reminded here that we have an opportunity to push the button and let God work through us in this very last chapter in Ephesians 4. It says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you." And if that was on the screen, I would put in big bold and underline, "just as Christ forgave you." We are told to be compassionate to our brothers and sisters, for we are one family and we're all in God, from God's creation. We don't have the opportunity to pick and choose who we love. God gave them life. God gave us life. He calls us to love. We're also reminded here that God's love took action. And it took action because he sent his son to die for our sins. Today, my friends, we're going to be focusing on three standards. And I recommend that you go back and won't be reading the whole Ephesians 5, but if you have an opportunity today or within the week or something, sit back, read Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5. So you know these are not merely my words, but merely God's words, and they were transpired and given to Paul for him to be able to preach these and for examples for us to lead and follow. We need to learn how to push the button and honestly follow Christ. Our first standard today is going to be live a life of love. This is the starting point of our foundations in Ephesians. In the beginning of chapter 5, Paul here gives us a command how God wants us to see fit in our lives. In verse 1, he says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children." He points out here that we are God's children. And we get to follow God's example. The word here, follow, means the word mimic. And he tells us about our Heavenly Father and how we should follow his example. Isn't that what we do with our parents? Is that we try to imitate them? I can look back just with the conversation, and I had a friend that came over, and they were just like, "Your two kids are just exactly like you. They try so hard to be exactly like you." That's the same kind of passion we should have towards our Father, our Heavenly Father. We should mimic him to be exactly like him. Here Paul is distinguishing separation from believers and non-believers. And that, my friends, is going to be love. Love is the key element. And I want to take a look at verse 1 and 2 together. It says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The phrase, walk in love, in the way of love, it echoes back to what Jesus was saying in John 13, 34, 35, where he told his disciples, all the people will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. It's important that we show our love. A couple years ago, I had an opportunity to be part of a little foster situation. I was just kind of just a middle person, just trying to connect and plug and do all the good stuff. But I learned an amazing story out of it. And I've always wondered if I had the opportunity to share it. And today I get to. There was this family that loved to foster kids. And they worked with different agencies, different people, and they got to see a lot of stuff. And one day they were telling me, Pastor Jose, you won't believe how ugly sometimes the foster system or the adoption system is. And I was like, what do you mean? All these people here that want to adopt kids, they have to come from the right state of mind or from the right angle of things. They're doing it for all the right purposes, right? And the young lady said, not always. Sometimes they put conditions. And I looked at her and I asked her, what do you mean? And she says, in my house we have a sign that says, as long as. And I'm like, as long as what? And she says, as long as there was no abuse in the family, we would adopt them. As long as there was no drug use in the family, we would adopt them. As long as there was a certain age. The list just went on and on and on. And that was kind of awakening to me about the foster system. I was like, man, that really sucks for those kids when people put conditions on them. And I was reminded that those children that people do this to, they're God's children. And this particular couple, I was thankful for them because they decided to push the button. And do something about it. They wanted to show that they truly love these children. And I was reminded here that our life here on this earth is just a small window of what God has in store for us. And we really want love to outlast when we leave this earth. We want people to know that our identity was in Christ, that our love for others was true. We want people to know that we love God and we love others. If anything else in life, follow those two examples. We live in a world today when the bar is set really, really low when it comes to love. The smallest gesture, the smallest act, the simplest gift, the subtle words, words of encouragement, they don't even mean that much no more. And so we have to learn how to push that button and understand that those things could really transform and change a person's life. Not setting the standard of the world, but setting the standard of what God called us to do. We're called to mimic our Father. And he gave us most precious gift of out of love to us by giving us his Son. And that tells us and shows us how sacrificial God's love is for us by giving himself up. Every morning, we should be spending time with God. That should be our first thing in our agendas in our day. Asking God to truly allow us to show love to somebody. Whether it may be the way we walk with them, whether it be the way we talk to them, interact with them. But we needed to allow God to work through us so we could mimic our Father in heaven. And if that's not working in your life, the reality is that we really need to push that button. And ask God how to truly show us how to love. Ask him to give us the eyes so we can see better, as well as the courage to mimic our Father. God is calling us to love, and that's our identity through Christ. The second standard is pursue the path to purity. We already know this culture is messed up and this world is messed up, right? And definitely, it has discounted the true path to love and purity. Our world has given us a knockoff version of it. It's somewhere in the black market, and we need to bring love back into the focus of what God created. David Jeremiah says, love and lust are opposites. Love gives, lust takes. Love sacrifices itself, lust sacrifices others. Love purifies, lust degrades. Lust leaves just an empty feeling of emptiness. Here in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is talking to us. And he says, verses 3 to 5, he says, but among you there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are the improper for God's holy people. Nor should it be obscenity, foolish talk, or coursing talk, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as person as an adulterer, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. This, my friends, is quite of a list. But he says, not even a hint of immorality or greed should be with us. We need to be on our guard. We're an example. If our identity is in Christ, then maybe we need to take a self-evaluation of our whole life. Maybe look at the shows we might be watching, the accounts that we're following on social media. The jokes that we might be telling to others. And maybe the people that we're talking about. Paul here talks about sexual immorality, and in the same breath as he talks about a strong desire for something. It's almost as they're saying that we could turn a blind eye to one to another. But as we've been walking through the book of Romans, we know that both sins are the same sin. They're the same expression of the same and the same weakness. Paul here is very clear in his wording, and he repeats himself. No immortal, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God. Here he's challenging us to do something. God does require us to live a life of Him and to follow His examples. And that's how we're able to get into the heavens. I mean, we all want to be in that eternal kingdom. We never think about this. But do you ask yourself, if I just happen to die right now, would I go to heaven? Maybe a few will make it, maybe some of us won't. Satan is real. And he has a field day with our lives. He loves to tell us his perspective. And in life, we mimic something. So we're not mimicking our Heavenly Father. We're definitely mimicking this world. And Satan's never going to tell you, "Oh, Pastor Jose, don't worry about it. Don't be hard on yourself. It's okay." And Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, because he knew it was so important to us, that he put these words in our living Bible. And here's the big picture. If we're not living in these standards, we are taking a risk of losing our Heavenly Father. Yes, God is graceful, but I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to play with that thought. And Paul is trying to emphasize on all these evil deeds that he listed here. And if these are part of your life, then maybe we haven't truly surrendered everything to God. And you could keep going as a Christian, as your daily walk, moving along, as you're going along. But at some point in time, you're going to have to wrestle. Whether if you truly surrender it all to Christ, or you're just playing a part. My friends, we have to learn how to push the button and ask the Lord to be really the Lords of our lives. Our identity is in Christ, and our behavior has to be pure, and our love has to be shown through our motives. I mean, we all know stories of the Pharisees, that they did things for show. They dressed in the nicest clothes. They knew the Bible very well. But they did it out of show. So we ask ourselves, are we trying to make ourselves famous? Or are we trying to make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives? And Jesus spoke in Matthew 5 on the Sermon on the Mount. He said these words. Go back and look for yourself. You might see some other things that could help out in your life. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And if you want to see a person that sees God, strive for purity in your actions and your motives. And we should be grateful this morning because God doesn't have no conditions. He has no qualifiers. And he never asked anything of us before he sent his son Jesus to die. This truly tells us about God's pure motive about our love for us. He already made that decision in his life, regardless of our response. The very last standard, accepting God's gift of grace. And this one is probably the easiest standard of all three. Because it is a free and it's a given gift by our Father that loves us so much. In Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are in the light. In the Lord, live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Here we find Paul reminding us that we were once in darkness and we were all participating in the dark deeds of darkness. But then he turns around and tells us that we were forgiven. That we have freedom. And that we can live in peace. He asks us a simple question. Why would you turn back to the way of darkness? In the beginning of this chapter, it was started with follow God's example. And the way he showed us to love. So he starts here in a very positive message, in a very positive way, before he begins his negative list. He wants us to encourage us and us for us to know how crazy it would be for us to return back to darkness. Darkness is associated with hiding something. Or maybe concealing something. Do you guys remember in the garden when Jesus was arrested? As they bound him, Jesus said to them, am I leading a rebellion that you come with me in swords, with swords and clubs? You guys see me every single day teaching in the temple courts. But you did not lay a hand on me. And he goes on to say, this is your hour where darkness reigns. There's something about the darkness. The things that we do in the dark that we would never do in the light. Because darkness hides, darkness conceals. And I believe that there's people that never seen this transformation in their lives because they never pushed that button, they never switched that standard that God had something bigger for them. People want God to do something in them, but they don't want to completely surrender that. We all hide something. God does his best work when you surrender it all to him. But for some reason, we as a people have lowered our standards, and we're not truly seeing that God has called us to be the children of light. And every time we give into darkness and sin, it diminishes that light of Christ. In the New Testament, the Bible is filled with a lot of contrasting choices. It says, are you saved or are you lost? Are you on the right or are you on the left? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Is there light? Is there darkness? There is hot and there is cold. And when the Bible does talk about the middle ground, Jesus says, I wish you were either hot or cold, because you're lukewarm and I'm going to spit you out my mouth. We all have a choice to make. We could be the children of the light, or we could live people as darkness. That's our choice. And I know personally in my life, God has done his best work through me in the darkest times of my life. Jesus, my friends, wants us to make a choice. He wants us to push that button. He's calling us to mimic his Father because our identity is in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for loving us, Lord, unconditionally. You died for us, Lord, without even knowing how we were going to respond to that love. We thank you, Father, this morning, Lord, because you're a gracious Father, Lord. You work through us even in the darkest time of life, Lord. Lord, we just ask you today, Lord. We know as a society, as a people, we're a mess. And we know, though, Lord, that you're still in control of all what's going on, Lord. That your mighty hand is put upon us, Lord. But you're calling us, Lord, to mimic you, to live a life greater than ourselves. You're telling us to really leave everything and surrender it all, Lord. To raise our white flag, Lord, because we know that you are Lord of our lives, Lord. We belong to you, Lord, and we praise you and give you thanks, Lord, for what you do in our lives, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we may be your children of light and continue mimicking you just as you called us to do and setting the standard by pushing the button. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen.